The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Back to Work Monday edition. Welcome to it, Dominic.
Oh, Creedy, good to see you. Thank you, Rich, working hard on the sound and the board, taking your calls, 844-967-2789. Good to be back.
I have immersed myself in the testimony of Michael Cohen for like going on a week straight, Tom. I've done nothing but sit home and consume the transcripted testimony on the CNN and then listen to the, you know, the pundits talk about it in real time, Dom, because nothing like giving response in real time. We like to do that when news breaks. But here's the craziest part of today. First and foremost, the prosecution rested after Michael Cohen left the stand. And there are some really troubling revelations. We'll get to that in a minute. But then the defense called there are two witnesses, one an expert from Todd Blanche's law firm. That was a quick witness. And then Robert Costello, who supposedly was on the stand to offer testimony that Michael Cohen had perjured himself during this trial. And somewhere during the course of the day, Costello pissed off the judge. Yes. To the point he gave him, he was side-eyeing the judge. He was interrupting. There would be objections. The judge would sustain them, and Costello would plow right through the judge.
You would keep talking to get his point out.
So
you're not supposed to do that.
Dominic, as the Washington Post reporting at this hour, Trump's lawyers called two witnesses, including Robert Costello, a defense attorney whom former Trump lawyer and key prosecution witness Michael Cohen spoke to in the 2018 while under federal investigation. Well, got a little goofy, Dom. I don't know which best one, man. A lot of live action here. I don't want to sort through in real time, Dom. But apparently the jury has been sent home for the day. The defense is now making its motion to dismiss the case, which is routinely done in nearly all criminal trials at the close of the prosecution's case. Judges typically deny such motions. Justice Juan Merchan is listening intently to defense attorney Todd Blanche say there's no evidence the former president, Donald Trump, committed a crime. I would say there has been more evidence presented that Michael Cohen committed a crime than Donald Trump by his own confession on the witness stand today. Dom, this is not the sort of news you want to see breaking from the prosecution's key witness. He stole from the Trump Organization to the tune of $30,000. And then, if you believe the Weisselman detail of how they grossed it up, how they accounted for the taxes, basically he claimed a bill of 50. The bill was 20. He took 30 off the top and then had the Trump Organization double it up. So Michael Cohen confessed to larceny in the amount of $60,000. Which begs the question, why wasn't he prosecuted on that charge? But it certainly undermines the prosecution's case. Well, consider this. It's the very math transaction that's the underpinning of the fact that Trump supposedly knew that the books were getting cooked to cover up this crime, right? Well, do you think Donald Trump knew that during the course of that transaction, Michael Cohen was robbing him of $60,000 and signed off on it?
Do I think Trump was aware of it?
That he was being robbed and thought that was kosher and signed off on it.
I would suggest
logic dictates no.
I would suggest Donald Trump knew what the amount was. Now, maybe that amount was grossed up based on the testimony of Cohen today, but Donald Trump certainly knew what the deal was.
This was not, and I'm just telling you, the underlying evidence is being questioned, right? And Cohen confessed not to the gross up. Yeah, everybody knew about that.
What evidence is being questioned?
The specific mathematical equation where they arrived at the Stormy Daniels payoff. For the first time, we learned while Michael Cohen was on the stand today that mixed up in that $420,000 is $60,000 a theft committed by Michael Cohen against the Trump org. That's something the prosecutor should have let out of the bag, maybe prepared the jury for. When that came up, did you rob the Trump organization? Correct, yes. And then you doubled it up. Yes, that's also correct. Well, that's a little damning when it is about the very math, right? Because here's the problem. The thing that they're alleging is that Trump knew all about all the details. He's a micromanager. He knew everything, except in this case. And you can say, well, he got grifted. Sure, he did. He got grifted by Michael Cohen to the tune of $60,000. If you believe Cohen's version of it, Cohen's still butthurt that he didn't get his full Christmas bonus. He got shorted like 100 grand. So he's looking for his retribution.
Yes.
And he stole it. And I think that undermines him a bit as a witness on the stand today.
More than the perjury, more than the jail sentence.
The perjury is not a clear thing. In fact, the perjury, the alleged perjury regarding the phone call. And specifically, they claim they caught him in a lie. In the phone call, and I came on the air last Thursday and addressed this at some detail, Dom. But the phone call was from Cohen to Keith Schiller. Keith Schiller being the body guy. And he, Michael Cohen, apparently approached him because some 14-year-old was crank calling him. And he wanted to get the Secret Service involved, even though the kid's like, I'm 14, don't do it to me. It's just a joke. Well, he gets Schiller involved. And up until now, he had always said specifically the purpose of this phone call was to inform Donald Trump that the hush money had been paid to Stormy Daniels. Now, that part of the story is actually probably corroborated more than it was. And there is an ask that a new picture be submitted into evidence. Just moments before this supposed phone call happened, Donald Trump left the stage at a campaign rally and was standing there in the witness photo with Keith Schiller. It actually sets the stage because Todd Blanche, on behalf of Trump's team, tried to imply that these two people were not in the same place at the same time. This phone call could not have happened. Now,
they tried to imply it, but they didn't specifically deny it. Okay.
Well, they're claiming Cohen had lied on the stand, and yes, he'd never brought up anything about a 14-year-old crank calling him. This was too much specificity that Michael Cohen had forgotten about, but he had always said that this phone call was all about informing Donald Trump that the hush money payment had been made. Now, the evidence? Well, the evidence is still there, but here's my greatest fear. They have not made a direct connection, and if Michael Cohen is the only witness, he has been dragged through the mud so many different ways. When you confess to stealing 60 grand from your boss on the stand today, that's going to undermine you a little bit as the star witness, I would say. But I think the truth could, both things could be true. But again, when you set it up, the prosecutor didn't do a very good job. Alvin Bragg's team did not do a good job, because if the guy said, hey, I called about this, but once I got the boss on the phone, I told him, hey, I made the hush money payment. Well, that takes all the guesswork out. Both things could have happened in 96 seconds. But sure, when you say, all I did was call to tell the boss about the Stormy Daniels payment, and you've got text messages and all this sort of prior talk about a crank call and 14-year-old and what are we going to do about it and how are you going to help me? And he calls Schiller because Schiller's the security guy. And the defense is claiming they weren't even at the same place at the same time, Schiller and Trump. Well, that would sort of throw out the specificity of the phone call.
at first you said that the defense was insinuating that they were not at the same place at the same time.
Yeah, now there's a photo.
Okay.
But they're trying to introduce into evidence, the prosecutor's team.
It was introduced as evidence. That is evidence. That happened. So the insinuation that you refer to didn't work, because obviously they were there. And the defense tried to keep that out of the evidence.
Specifically, again, trying to tie up the loose end of this October 24th, 2016 phone call. Did it happen? I quote the Raw story, one of my favorite aggregators, Dom. Donald Trump's attorneys are fighting the introduction of a piece of evidence that legal experts believe could be extremely important in proving the charges against the former president. Prosecutors want to show jurors a photo of Trump with his former bodyguard Keith Schiller at a campaign rally shortly before the 2016 election that legal experts say could prove testimony by Michael Cohen about a phone call he made to the former president about the hush money payment, right? Whoa, prosecution has a photo that shows on 10/24, Trump was indeed with Schiller just minutes before the call Cohen said he had with both of them. That was posted by former prosecutor Andrew Weissman on the Twitter, which Blanche has sought to refute. So, Blanche thought he had caught Michael Cohen in a lie. And there was real question last week how damaging this had been to Cohen's testimony. Because Cohen had never said publicly prior, this was about a 14-year-old kid crank calling me. He'd always said it was about the hush money payment to Stormy. Always. But this photo actually helped support his evidence. The photo shows Trump and Schiller walking off the stage of an October 24, 2016 campaign rally at 7:57 p.m., 5 minutes before the 802 phone call in question. Don't forget, they have all the call records. They can prove it happened. They can prove it's 96 seconds. But they can't prove that Trump was part of that phone call, which would tie him to the allegations that he knew that Stormy Daniel was being paid off. Now, there's no other plausible reason for this, right? The defense has offered no alternative theory, but they don't have to.
Apparently, they will not. Apparently, they will not. And perhaps Donald Trump, although to be decided on Tuesday, has not taken the stand. Let's just say that.
Blanche is arguing the photo isn't relevant, but it's huge. It tends to corroborate Cohen by showing Trump was exactly where he says he was minutes before the call, and Schiller could have easily passed Trump the phone. Yeah, but what about the 60 grand you stole as part of the Stormy transaction? That does sort of muddy the math, if you know what I'm saying. Come back, more devils.
It's a radio show. Join us on the lines anytime. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I definitely want to talk more about the Cohen testimony. It is the Donald Trump trial, though. It's not Michael Cohen on trial. You wouldn't have known it from the cross-examination, though. But I want to throw out the fact that your boy Kid Rock, MAGA-loving Kid Rock, spews inward and waves gun at Rolling Stone journalist.
Come on, man.
I know you've been missing some of the pop culture since you've been gone for a week, Dom, so I want to bring you up to date.
Thanks.
Kid Rock, the Trump-loving, Dom-loving rocker, who has become a top right-wing cultural warrior, reportedly went off the rails recently when he agreed to be interviewed by Rolling Stone journalist David Peisner. During the interview, Peisner and Kid Rock got into a heated discussion about former President Donald Trump's dehumanizing rhetoric about immigrants, after which Kid Rock began pounding Jim Beam and Diet Cokes. Captain Doubles, double captains, Diet Cokes. See, you know, when you get to the Jim Beam, you know you're going to get all belligerent.
He's a whiskey guy.
At this point, he began to get especially belligerent, according to Peisner. He's sitting in a dark leather chair shouting at me about something or other when he reaches behind the seat, pulls out a black handgun, and waves it around to make some sort of point, writes the Rolling Stone journalist. And I got a effing gun right here if I need it, said Kid Rock shouted. According to Pisner, I got them everywhere. Keeps them around the house, them, in case he needs to threaten someone.
Laying around like roaches, man.
Now, I think he called it an effing N-word gun right here. So, you know, threw a little racial epitaph in there for good measure, damn.
Come on, kid.
Elsewhere in the interview, Kid Rock tried to make the case that the Republican Party was the best one for Black Americans, even as he repeatedly used the N-word to talk about them. It was the Republicans that freed the effing slaves, Rock insisted. Yes, but the Republicans were the Progressive Party back then, said Pisner. Kid Rock, not so great on the history, but you know, all these Republicans like revisionist history.
You don't expect Megan to know any history. All you got to do is listen to the Orange Man repeat and rinse, and that's all you got to do. It's very simple.
I know where you're going with this, and I'll tell you why I don't. Because Trick Trick, the hardest hitting N-word in Detroit, was like, dog, you had that S right. We need Trump. I'll call him right effing now. I'm telling you, these dogs are calling me like, yo, N-word, you had the right one. You had that one right. Do so. I'd like to see him invite all his buddies over in such a fashion, Dom. At another point in the interview, Kid Rock seems to lament that he's not as beloved by music fans as Prince was. Purple Rain is probably the greatest Prince song ever written, he said. Prince is known for Purple Rain. I'm known for shooting up Bud Light cans. Really, is that what you're known for? But do you want that? Asked Pisner. You don't want that to be your epitaph. I don't care, Kid Rock replied. But apparently he does care, Dom. Deep down, he cares.
Deep down, he wants to be accepted.
You are no Prince.
You're no Kid Rock.
844-967-2789. Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's enough for me, Dom.
All right. Man, I mean, that cat used to be fun. You know, he did some stuff with Eminem, man, you know. And then it just went all country and Trumpy and lost me.
Was it about the time you started dating Sheryl Crow? What happened there? Sheryl Crow wrecked Kid Rock.
Come on, don't blame her, man.
No, I was trying to get...
I think they got a little money and, you know, kind of figured out it's better to be right and rich than not right, left-leaning right, not right as in correct. 844-967-2789. L.A. Tom, you are up. Happy days, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. First off, Robert James Ritchie is a complete fraud. Kid Rock's real name, Robert James Ritchie, from a very, very rich millionaire family, who didn't have to work for anything a day in his life. I think we should really set the record straight that this guy is a fake. He tries to come off like he's some type of blue-collar guy when he was the original Richie Rich. And live that life, you know, from early childhood. So let's not, I'd much rather be an Eminem than be Richie Rich.
Richie Rich, I never realized his old man was a car dealer, owned multiple car dealerships.
Yeah, man, he was doing all right.
Exactly. He's not what he claims to be. He's a fraud, just like that orange turd that's a frickin' emperor that has no clothes. And I wish people would just wake up. I wish people would just realize, honestly, this whole election, all these elections coming up, these aren't about Trump. They're not about Joe Biden. They're going to be all dead and gone by the time your kids and grandkids grow up. This is about us. This is about what it is that we want for our future country. And it's not about owning the libs. It's not about any of this stuff. It's about what do we want as a country? Do we want authoritarian dictatorship, or do we want
democracy? Yes, some of them do, Tom. I just got to tell you, yes, they do. They absolutely do. They want their glorious orange God to tell them what to do every single day. That's what they want.
What Bud Light cans they should be shooting.
That's what they want. They crave it. For some reason, Tom, I don't get it. These were the patriotic types, as they would claim to be, but really all they want is an old white guy to tell them what to do.
Yeah, you got that right, Dom. I mean, that's basically, they had a fit when they thought Barack Obama was that. These guys are the biggest followers on the planet. They're just losers.
Oh, don't even get me going on the beige suit, Tom. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
I call them losers because that's what they are.
Losers.
You're never a loser when you listen to the Devil's Advocates. We appreciate, especially when you participate at 844-967-2789. You can call us at that number. If the boss is watching, just send a text. I read them, even though Dom basically is just here to look pretty on the radio.
Big and tall of political talk, the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. Checking out the text line, Dom. Kid Rock went south, literally, when he tried going mainstream and could only destroy classic rock songs he sampled. What's left when you no longer have it? Country music, the easiest music genre to perform. He went MAGA from there, I'm sure. Well, he definitely ended up MAGA. I don't know for sure-sies. Someone questioned, this thought had crossed my mind. What if Michael Cohen was like a Manchurian witness to get Donald Trump off? Still offering loyalty. Had just been on the sidelines. You know, I just think the truth went out. I just think the guy hated him too much. You know, he went to prison for him.
You know, so did Weisselberg. I mean, you have to consider any possibility, I guess, but I wouldn't buy that. Not the way that the vitriol has been and the guy served time and all the back. I find that unlikely.
Callers, be patient just a moment longer. I've got just a little update from the Manhattan courtroom. It was an angry, tense moment in the courtroom as a furious Justice Juan Merchan ordered the courtroom cleared. Everybody out of here. Reporters clamored to allow to be heard before they were ejected. This was the first time we've seen Merchan's temper erupt. Lawyer Robert Costello was answering questions even after objections to questions were sustained. A little bit more from inside of the courtroom as they're clearing it, Dom. The row of Donald Trump sycophants, I mean supporters, including several lawyers who are not officially part of the case, and Eric Trump were not removed with the rest of the people in the room. Well, what was the problem? As the Washington Post is reporting it, here's what was said. Are you staring me down right now? An angry Judge Merchan asked the witness. Getting the stank eye, Dom. New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan grew irate with witness Robert Costello, again for Trump, when he felt the witness was disrespecting his instructions about talking back to the court during testimony. Merchan got angrier at what he took to be Costello's apparent disrespect, even as the judge was chastising the lawyer for making faces of exasperation at him. Are you staring me down right now? The judge asked incredulously of Costello. Clear the courtroom, the judge then decreed. Clear the courtroom. Defense witness Robert Costello spoke back to Justice Juan Merchan and made disrespectful gestures. Couple of these, one of these. Prompting the judge to scold him and throw all reporters out of the room in Donald Trump's hush money trial so that he could have a talk with Costello. Oh, going to the principal's office.
Uh-oh.
Merchan refused to reconsider the highly unusual move of sealing the courtroom in a monumentally important case. And apparently, Dom, about an hour ago, the jury was sent home for the day. Robert Costello has not finished his testimony.
Yes, he will continue.
Tomorrow, but not Wednesday. And then no final closing arguments this week. They're going to give everyone the 3-day weekend and then closing arguments on Tuesday next. That's my understanding, Dom.
That's what's being reported. A little bit more on that. Costello repeatedly spoke over Mershon's sustained objections, which witnesses sometimes do to have the jury hear what they want to say, even if the questions asked are prohibited. In Costello's case, he continued to do it. The witness muttered, "Geez," loud enough for Mershon to hear from several feet away, and Costello held up a hand in gesture of frustration. The judge sustained several prosecution objections in a row, handicapping Costello's ability to answer. "What did you say?" Mershon said. "What did you say?" Before Mershon told the people in the gallery to leave the room, the fired-up jurist asked the jury to leave so he could have a more concentrated talk with Costello. "I would like to discuss proper decorum in my courtroom," Mershon said. "So when there is a witness on the stand, if you don't like my ruling, you don't say, geez, okay? And they don't, and then don't say, strike it, because I am the only one who can strike testimony in the courtroom. If you don't like my rulings, then you don't give me side eye and you don't roll your eyes." Costello then gave him a look the justice didn't like after trying to argue about the ruling. "Are you staring me down right now?" Costello did not answer.
You trying to be hard, bro?
Super hard, bro.
Wouldn't it be funny if one of the witnesses was thrown in the penalty box? Right. A little contemptuous of the courts. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the patient callers. Mike from Menominee Falls. Welcome, Mike. What do you got for us?
Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking my phone call, as always. Hey, just two quick questions for you. I would love to get your take on it. I know we're on the opposite side of the fence, and I really appreciate you guys always taking my call, because I know I'm not in the same viewpoint as you guys. My first question is, the topic of drug testing got brought up prior to the election. Do you think it's fair that Joe Biden should have to succumb to that prior to the debate?
If they both agree to it, Mike, come on, man. I mean, it seems a little juvenile to ask either 80-something octogenarian candidate to take a drug test, but the accusations have been leveled both ways. So, you know, make them pee in a cup like people have to do for their unemployment insurance.
Understood. And that's all I was going to ask. My second question for you guys is, with how things are shaken out for Joe Biden in the most recent unbiased polls that I've seen, that he's losing black votes, Hispanic votes, do you feel as though they could dump him prior to the Democrat National Convention if he doesn't do well during the debate? Because we know that RFK is going to take votes from him. He's not going to take votes from Trump supporters.
Well, that's arguable, Mike.
Yeah, that's arguable. I would disagree with that necessarily, Mike.
Dom, I'll let you take a swing at replacing Biden.
Mike, hang on a second. Stay on the line, though. I want to. Damn it, Mike. All right. Well, if you're not going to engage and play, then I'm not going to answer that question. No, man. Biden's going to be fine. If there's anybody who's going to be replaced, then I had to ask you the same question. Look at Donald Trump. Right? The guy could be a convicted felon by the time he rolls into Milwaukee. That's not a great look for the GOP. As far as
are we talking about this trial in New York? Because that's the only trial that will proceed at least before the RNC happens in July, right?
Yes.
Even with a conviction, that will not change the attitude of the MAGA faithful.
Sure. I'm not, Crudy, does anybody, any cult member's attitude ever get changed when the cult leader doesn't ascend to heaven on the date and time that they predicted?
Well, no, if man, you laid out evidence of
matter.
It doesn't matter.
I'm not talking about flipping the cult members, man. It's the independents. It's the moderate Republicans. It's those who might think that, damn, a convicted felon? That's not a good look. And we still got three trials coming up. And then, oh, yeah, maybe by the end of June or sooner, the U.S. Supreme Court comes out and says, no, Donald Trump, you do not have absolute immunity. Or, yes, the president does have absolute immunity. And then thereby Biden throws Trump in the clink anyway. So
here's my greater concern, Dom, and I've expressed this in your absence. I could very well see a reasonable doubt expressed by one of the jurors in this case. It'd be very easy to see a hung jury, which, as far as Donald Trump's going to call it, that's vindication. That's exoneration. As long as he's not convicted, he's claiming victory.
He's gonna claim victory no matter what. But please continue. Yourself.
Well, please tell me how he would spend 34 felony convictions into a victory. I don't see that as much.
Come on, man. My old man, every time he walks in the courtroom, he gets $1 million. He was out there today after court saying the prosecutor needs to be prosecuted. I mean, Donald Trump will grab, no matter what happens, man, this, don't you understand what's going on around? You got all these Republicans, senators, right? Someone else say, oh, I don't know if I'm going to trust this election. I mean, everything's, you know, topsy-turvy for the GOP right now. So if Donald Trump ends up being convicted, he'll say, well, it's persecution. It's a proof of persecution. We'll appeal it, yada, yada, yada. It doesn't matter to Donald Trump. He's going to claim victory. He's going to claim persecution.
Claiming victory after you're convicted is different than claiming exoneration if there's a hung jury, because you might be right in the latter case.
To whom? Is it different?
To the independents, Dom. If he's vindicated at court, if the evidence show that he's not convicted on these 34 charges, you know what? He's got a hell of a lot stronger case to make to the independents, to the swing voters, to those that don't know every nuance of whether or not Michael Cohen robbed him of 60 grand.
I think it's arguable. What case does Donald Trump make upon not being found guilty, upon a hung jury?
They're all witch hunts.
Cases hold above his head. What is the case he's going to make to the independents that would be any different versus a conviction?
Well, guess what? He gets to make the case about the economy and inflation and Joe Biden's miserable record, as he would describe it.
That's going to happen anyway, dude. Nothing changes. That's my point.
Yes, a lot changes if the guy is not convicted at trial, Dom, because we're not going to get another trial. You don't get another bite at this apple. And if the king doesn't get his crown knocked off by this trial, you know what? I think it puts him in a stronger position going into the fall. I think he's more likely to win for his exoneration if that's what happens.
Do you have any actual evidence as to why you think that? That's your gut feeling. I don't think it's the case. I think
the guy gets indicted. He wins the nomination running away.
The megas are going to hold on to him no matter what. Trump's going to claim it's persecution and or victory no matter what. These things are already set, dude. So,
but if he wins that trial, he could win at the ballot box. That's the difference. If he loses that trial, he's dead. If he wins that trial, it strengthens him as a candidate. That's the difference.
Based on what?
Based on the claim he can make that I was exonerated at trial, these are all political prosecutions by the Biden DOJ. Whether or not it's true, dude, doesn't make...
It's not true, man. It's not the DOJ. I'm so sick of this, man. It's the Manhattan DA.
Okay. And you think swing voters out there are sitting there drawing distinction?
Oh, the Biden DOJ. This is a state prosecution. Let's not feed into the BS. This is not a Biden prosecution.
But if it's a failed state prosecution, dude, he's exonerated as far as the general public is concerned. Until proven otherwise, until convicted at a court of law, he's been exonerated.
Are you going to believe that?
I wasn't going to vote for the man either way. I'm talking about swing voters and independent voters.
Now you're saying swing voters. I got you.
I've always said that. Because those are the people that matter.
I get it, man. But I don't think that that's going to change the calculus, man. He's still got three other trials coming.
No. He still has. Not between here and Election Day, you don't.
No, but there's still investigations. There's still activity. There's courtroom activity.
Russia. Right? I mean, come on, man. You're starting to sound like Rachel Maddow. The next one, it'll get him for sure. You know what? There is no next one. He's going to be a strengthened candidate because of this crappy hush money trial in New York. He's going to come out stronger on the other side.
When you're ready to go to trial, when you have the evidence, you roll. And it's a chance you don't know it. Maybe you get a conviction. Maybe you don't. Probably you do. Maybe you don't. But you don't not prosecute it for a political reason because it might, quote unquote, make him stronger. I don't buy that for a minute. I mean, he's damaged goods now. He's damaged goods then. He's going to be damaged goods in the future. So you think that somehow independents are going to, lean into Donald Trump because one juror decided that they weren't going to go along with it, that now it exonerates him? Trump's going to claim victory no matter what. That's what he does.
I'm going to talk to someone smarter than you, Dom. Maggie Dodd, our pal. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, Maggie.
Hey. Hey, guys. Well, I think you're both kind of right, but I do... probably kind of a little bit towards Dom on this one.
Nice talking to you, Maggie Dodd.
Yeah, right?
Why?
I think he is going to claim victory as well, in that he will say, I'm being martyred. This is me standing for your cause. And again, I think I'm not sure that independence will be entirely swayed if he is convicted because of the nature of this prosecution, right? They're going to spin it as a paper crime. I think it will grab some independents, some swing voters. So on margin, is it better that he gets convicted? Yes. But I don't know if that's enough to actually change November's outcome. So again, I'm with you both a little bit on this one. But I was really, I'm really, really tired of hearing Republicans and conservatives repeat this garbage line that black and brown folks, black folks and Hispanic and Latinos are somehow moving away from Joe Biden in numbers significant enough to change the outcome of the election. I think that that's false. Joe Biden was challenged a little bit by that in 20. It remains a significant challenge, but this is not some great mass exodus to Donald Trump. The man is an avowed, explicit racist.
Got to cut you short. Hard breaks. You know the industry. More Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Radio for the 99%.
And thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join us on the lines at 844-967-2789.
I think you and Maggie are both wrong for this reason. A conviction has a different impression with swing voters, independents. They are much more likely to abandon Donald Trump if he is convicted. And it's not just Donald Trump they will abandon. They are far more likely to abandon those that support Donald Trump. That is analytically provable. An exoneration, a vindication, whatever you want to call it, a hung jury, anything short of conviction in New York makes Trump a stronger candidate. A conviction damages him, I have no doubt. Up to 4 to 6% of MAGA faithful would reconsider their support of Trump if he is convicted at trial. So you can't tell me this is all just a coin flip and Trump's going to claim victory either way. It's a lot easier to claim victory when you win.
Really? Really? Did he win? Are you kidding me, man? He was just in Minnesota telling he won Minnesota. He was in Wisconsin saying he won Wisconsin. You got to be kidding me, dude. Do you hear the words that are coming out of your mouth when we're looking at what just happened? Dude went to Minnesota. I won the election. No, you did not. You did not win. He claims victory when he loses. He's going to do it again. Even if he's found not guilty, he will claim victory. If he's found guilty, he will claim victory. It is that's how he does it, man. He's been doing it since he lost.
Yeah, but the headlines are going to tell the people whether or not he's lying in that circumstance. Now.
Are they really? That's what the headlines.
Guilty. You think the headlines across the country is Trump guilty?
Biden wins were the headlines. What is Trump saying this weekend? He won Minnesota.
It's going to be pretty hard for him to ignore the reality of a conviction.
Harder than claiming he won the election that he lost? Is it harder than that? Come on, man.
844-967-2789. I don't think they're equitable circumstances, although you make something of a salient point. Joe from Madison, you've been very patient. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe.
Welcome back, Dom. I'm glad
thank
you had this time.
Thank you. It was awesome.
I feel less welcoming at this moment.
I wanted to return to a comment that the caller from Tom calling from L.A., your good pal, had. And he had this wonderful line where he said, look, people, I'm paraphrasing, this isn't about the personalities of Trump, and this isn't about the personalities of Biden. This is about the policies that what we want for our country as we go forward. And I thought it was a really interesting point, and I would tie it into a little anecdote that was part of a New York Times story when looking at the upcoming election. The reporters interviewed a guy, 52 years old, union worker out of Hartford, Wisconsin. And this guy said he was going to be voting for Tammy, but he wasn't going to vote for Biden. He didn't like him. He's a Trump man all the way. Now, this guy was quoted in this article as saying that there has never been more construction in the state than there has been over the last couple of years under Biden. And we can look at the fact that it is the policies of, you know, the infrastructure bill, the CHIPS bill, creating tens of thousands of jobs across the country. And including among that is the Microsoft data center down in that part of the state. And as we all know, this is going to finally save us from that stinking, awful Trump-Walker mess of Foxconn. But this guy complains that he's upset about the fact that when Biden came to visit to celebrate the creation of this Microsoft data center, which is going to be huge, lots of jobs, lots of oomph for our future, he claimed that this was going to end. He claimed he was unhappy because the visit ended up slowing down concrete trucks. With that kind of disconnect, where people can't make they can't see what side their bread is buttered on and what policies are going to move them forward in their own individual lives, boy, I really think we need to keep concentrating on that mobile truck that the Dems were running around the Republican convention that just said, you know, Richie Rich, Laguna Beach, Eric Hovde does not like you. You know, he's a Laguna Beach boy. He's not a Wisconsin boy. So I think there's plenty to talk about as we go forward. But boy, I just wish we could turn the personality side down and look at the policies, because right in our own state, we can see the policy of Foxconn was a terrible failure. And this Microsoft data center is full of possibilities and is going to be bringing a great deal of interest and power and money and jobs to the state. So choose wisely, people.
Thank you, Joe. 844-967-2789. Cam from Nina sneaking a few more in here. Cam, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cam.
Hey, guys. I think, I hate to say it, but I usually agree with you.
Wow, Cam. Buddy, you got the worst phone line ever. Mark from Sussex, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, thanks for calling taking my call there, gentlemen. Crudy, I want you to mark this date down because it might be the first time that I ever agree with you on both issues. And I think Dom needs to take a pill or he's going to have a heart attack. So the first thing is, I'm sorry about that, Dom. But anyway, Trump is one juror away from being the next president. And I say this because all of the independents are now seeing that this is what it is. It's a witch hunt against Trump. The one in Georgia, this thing in New York, all this crap. And I can tell you right now, and also the second part of that.
Mark, I got to correct you. The other trials would display real god-awful crimes.
But a hush money
trial in New York about a porn star 8 years ago is not the way I would have led. It's all about the January 6th, Mark. That is indefensible.
Well, and maybe Dawn is also incorrect that if Trump moves the Latino or the African-American vote 3, 5, 7, 9 points, whatever.
Never going to happen, Mark. Never going to happen.
Okay. Look at the poll. Dom, look at the poll.
No, I'm just saying, I see the polls. It's not going to happen. I just don't buy it, man. I don't buy it.
Okay, but if he moves it 3 points or 5 points, okay. And now you throw in the independents, it's over.
Mark, you might be right, but you might be wrong. But you might be right, but you're probably wrong. Come on back, a happier happy hour. Your calls are always welcome. Just be more right than wrong if you can. 844-96-PARTY.